In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I have with me Father Matt Williams, and we're going to be sharing about what the Lord did over the weekend. Miraculous move of God. Well, welcome, Father.
Father Tom, it's great to be with you this morning, and I think this is the first time I'm on the radio with you since you've come here to Quincy, so special moment for me as well to join you on this radio as we broadcast live from St. John the Baptist Rectory here in Quincy, Massachusetts. So the gospel is going out from Quincy in many wonderful ways, and great to share with you what the Lord has done this weekend, Father.
Well, you know, you were sharing some of the things, and I said, the only thing I can say is praise God. Thank you, Lord. This is what it means. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Amen. And this past weekend, so we, every summer, Franciscan University of Steubenville, Ohio, has summer conferences for high school teenagers. And they, I think prior to pandemic, it was like 40, they'd have 40 conferences across the country. Some places they have in multiple, in the same site, they'll have multiple conferences, but 40 across the country, obviously limited this year because of the pandemic. But, and so usually we send our kids to the one that's called Steubenville East. And for many years it was at the Lasalle Shrine in Attleboro, and then it went to URI. And then in recent years it's been at in Lowell, at the University of Massachusetts in Lowell. And so, but there's nothing this year. So we made the decision to go to Ohio, Steubenville, Ohio, for the conference. Our youth minister, Francesca Alberti, has just finished her sophomore year at Franciscan University. And so we just decided, you know what, we definitely want to send it. This is such a phenomenal conference. And we said, you know, let's make the trek out to Franciscan University. And so I think it going out, we left at 5 a.m. on Friday morning, and it must have been a I think it took us about 13 hours to get there. We only stopped once for 30 minutes. It was just the traffic and weather and things like that. But it was worth the trip. So, Father, have you ever been out to Franciscan University?
I've been there just once, and I celebrated Mass there. But that's just about it.
Mm. Yeah, Franciscan University, I don't think it was built in the 40s or so, but through the visionary leadership of Father Michael Scanlon, has become a source of, I'll say, renewal for the Catholic Church, at least in the United States, and I'm sure beyond. And Father Scanlon was a man filled with the Holy Spirit, and he brought the charismatic renewal there and invited the Holy Spirit to give vision. And they've become a place of renewal for the church and new life for the church. You know, I would say it's probably one of the best Catholic colleges in the country. And if I had a young person, a child, I would absolutely encourage my child or send my child to Franciscan University. It is 100% Catholic and faith-filled, and they're changing lives through the power of the Holy Spirit. The majority of the student body goes to daily Mass. That just says something about the school. Is it perfect? No, but I'll tell you, they're doing something really wonderful there, and they offer all kinds of conferences. But in this case, we're talking about the conferences that they offered for young people. So heading there, Father, I don't know if you remember this or not, but like, was the Portiuncola Chapel there when you went there?
Yeah. It was. That's where Francis prayed in Assisi. It's called the Portiuncola Chapel.
Yeah. So the Port Chapel is an adoration chapel, and it's beautiful, and a place where they have perpetual adoration during the school year, and a place where so many young people come to pray all throughout the school year, and it's just so beautiful. The grounds. The grounds are holy. They're anointed. When you step foot on that campus, like, you know God is there. Like, you know the presence of God is there. And it's absolutely wonderful. So, like, it just provides the culture. So like, you know, you're coming there for a conference, but there's a, the environment is soaked with prayer and the culture there, you know, because they have students that are doing, you know, doing all the work from security to shuttling and registration and all the logistics. So the student body, and so the students who are witnesses to Christ, you know, and then the bookstores there, the campus, everything is so Christ-centered, and it provides a we'll call it a marinade, Father, in which our young people immerse. That's even before they've experienced the conference, the grounds there. So just setting the stage here for this conference and what it meant there. I'm going to just kind of start with like one of the big testimonies of there. So in the middle of Saturday, Father, I was walking through the campus and going to meet our group, and there was a group of boys, and they're playing football, and not a football game, but they're just having this throwing contest, basically, like, you know, throw it up in the air and whoever catches it gets to throw the ball kind of thing. And they see the priest coming by and like, father, we throw one. And I'm like, sure, I'll throw one, you know, and I have been throwing like a half dozen or something like that, and then kept going my way. And then on my return walk, I got pulled over to do it again. And then we took a group picture, and then I got pulled again. So anyways, I ended up talking to some of these young boys, and they're from the Dayton area. They're from it's boys and girls, but predominantly boys I'm speaking with. They're from this Catholic high school, in Dayton, Ohio. And, particularly talking with this young adult, boy named Tommy. And he started sharing how the colleges that he's looking at and stuff like that. And one of them is in the Boston area. And we're just kind of making a connection there and saying, you know, if you come to Boston, you'll have to kind of come check us out and stuff like that. And, just start, hearing about this young man and how, his witness and his testimony and how solid he is and how wherever he goes to college, he's going to be light and he's going to, be light and bring the gospel of Jesus Christ and stand firm in the midst of error or in the midst of, we'll call it a culture of, moral relativism or a culture of death. Very impressive young man. And so I said to him, I want you to come, meet Andrea and some of my group here. Like, I just thought this would be a good thing will come out of this, you know, and he had mentioned this thing called Emmaus Ministries, but it just didn't ring a bell. And was just talking about, you know, how he's, tries to live life in the Holy Spirit and the gifting and stuff like that. But, it didn't really ring a bell at that moment. And so I come over and, Andrea had been diagnosed with some kind of a knee injury thing and, was on crutches for the weekend and had as an appointment actually this morning and, was in severe pain with the knee and swelling and, had to borrow a crutch from Steubenville because of that it's a pretty tough diagnosis. And so, we're talking with this young man and about a number of things. And he just starts sharing about this Emmaus ministry and what they're doing at their high school, Father, and what God's doing. And I just want to pause for a second, Father. I just want to read like in the book of Acts, right? Which we're all familiar with, right? So, when Jesus says in Acts 1, right, that you heard from me, for John baptized with water, but before many days, you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit, right? That's verse 4. And then Acts 1:8, right? You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And Father, what is that word in the Greek is the word dynamite, right?
Dynamos,
right? It's the word for dynamite, right? So the power that the Lord wants to give us, you know, that the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in us, right? And so the power of the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. And the word witness is the same word that we get from martyr. A witness is a martyr, right? Someone, you know, and the word martyr is someone who witnesses unto the shedding of blood, you know, and so you'll be my witnesses. And, but not only witnesses to the shedding of blood, but witnesses, through our lives, our words and our deeds. And it's all supposed to be through the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, we often hear that quote, it's attributed to St. Francis, but many think it's not. You know, you preach the gospel at all times, and if you have to use words, that's not an excuse not to proclaim the gospel. It's just to say people should see this gospel alive in me first. And then that creates an opportunity for me to share the reason for my hope with other people. And my witness and how I live my life is meant to be one lived through the power of the gift of the Holy Spirit. And God wants to do things. And so this young man is telling us about the Holy Spirit and what he's seeing and miracles that he's seeing. And so this Encounter Ministries is a Catholic ministry that operates in the gifts of the Holy Spirit and in miracles. And they really seek to, actually, it's what we heard in the gospel on Sunday, right? When Jesus sends them two by two, and he gave them authority, right? And he told them to proclaim that the kingdom of God is at hand, right? And he gave them authority. And as the apostles went and preached repentance, they drove out demons, and they anointed many with oil who were sick, and they cured them, right? So, you know, Jesus shows us in the Acts of the Apostles that the proclamation of the kingdom is accompanied by signs and wonders and miracles. And so, like, this Encounter ministry, see, it's Catholic. And, like, our Protestant brothers and sisters have been so light years ahead of us, except for Father Tom, have been light years ahead of us when it comes to this stuff. And so now it's awesome that there's a ministry out there that is inviting people to this kind of evangelical outreach, that or Christian witness, that it is marked by a life lived in the power of the Holy Spirit and relying on words of knowledge, relying on that God wants to do things to get people's attention, to draw them to Jesus. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Father, you want to just speak to that for a second?
Yes, when Jesus proclaimed the kingdom of God, people were healed. It showed them that the kingdom of God was in the power of the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God, we need to proclaim the kingdom of God and to show the kingdom of God through signs, wonders, and miracles. How important it is that people know that God is still at work. Jesus gave us his Spirit to do the same things that he did, and he wants to do them through us, through the Holy Spirit.
And you know, it comes through our baptism. You know, when we were baptized priest, prophet, and king. And so we're brought into relationship, covenant relationship with Jesus, and he gave us this gift of the Spirit, and we're called to proclaim in word and deed Jesus, you know. And many of our Catholic brothers and sisters, you know, kind of after confirmation, go into the witness protection program, you know, anonymous Christianity. And that's why the culture is the way it is. That's why the church is the way it is, because we don't live in the power and gifting of the Holy Spirit. And also, I would say, taking the call to holiness with utmost seriousness, the great commandment of love, to love the Lord our God above all things, having no other idols, right? To love with all of our mind, our heart, our soul, and our strength. To love our neighbors, ourselves, you know. And so as a result of that, as Father would often say, we're more evangelized by the culture than by the gospel of Jesus Christ. As Father has often said, I've listened to a lot of his radio broadcasts over the years, more people can quote movies more readily and TV shows more readily than scripture passages. You know, ask a person to name the last five TV shows or movies they've seen. Ask them to recall the last five Bible passages or stories they've read. You know, we can't do it. We don't remember. And it's because we're not reading the scriptures and we're not immersed in this power. So, but God wants to do something new today. And, you know, revival, all signs are pointing that this is a new day of revival, and God wants to do things through you, through me, through Father, in the power of the Holy Spirit. So this young man, so we're talking, and we're hearing this thing, and so I'm like, will you pray over Andrea? And he's like, yeah. And so he just starts asking her all kinds of questions, almost like a doctor, you know. What's going on? When did it happen? What's your pain like? What can you do? What can't you do? What's the pain level? You know? And ask all these questions. And then he just starts praying. And what's crazy is he didn't pray for 20 minutes. He didn't, like, sing, you know, five songs of Spirit of Living God, fall afresh on her. He just prayed. And he commanded her knee to be healed. He commanded it by the power of the name of Jesus, by the power of his cross. He commanded the knee to be healed. He told the knee to be healed. He told the knee to be healed. He commanded healing. This kid, he's not even 18, Father. He's not even 18. He's got a senior of high school left. Okay, maybe he's 18, but I don't even think so, because usually if you're 18, you're graduating. He's not even 18. If he's 18, but he's not more than that. And he's praying over this adult woman in front of a priest, commanding that this leg be healed. I'm like saying, you know, that what fortitude, right, to pray so boldly in front of a priest, in front of others, and putting yourself out there. Because what if, you know, we often go through this humanist, right? What if Jesus doesn't show up? What if Jesus doesn't heal her? And you look kind of like, you know, Mickey the Dunce, you know? And he's praising, he steps out and prays. And Andrea's like, the pain's gone. And she stands up and she starts walking. The pain is completely gone and she can walk with no problem. An hour later, she could run around the campus. She didn't go for a hike, but she ran around and tested it. And that was on Saturday afternoon. And as of Monday morning, today, the leg seems to be completely, totally, and miraculously healed. And Father, she spoke about how she felt the bones, because there seems to be maybe some deterioration of the bone. She felt the bone being restored. So what's interesting is, like, she had x-rays done last week, and so today she's going in to see a doctor, and we're going to find out what new sets of x-rays do. But she believes that she was been totally miraculously healed. So, like, that experience of the weekend alone, and some kids witnessed this happen, was absolutely extraordinary.
Signs like these shall follow those who believe. They shall lay hands upon the sick, and they shall be healed. Signs like these. This is normal Christianity. This is normal Christianity, because Jesus gave us the Holy Spirit. And we're so abnormal. You know what we need in the church today? Prophets. We need prophetic people that would challenge us to totally surrender our lives to Jesus. We need to see prophetic people bringing healing to the sick, restore life to those that are dying. We need that, because it shows that the kingdom of God is right here, right here, right here. When someone is healed, you say, the kingdom of God showed up today, and the kingdom of God is in the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Yeah, yesterday, as I was walking into the conference, I saw a young person sitting off to the side, and she didn't look like she was feeling too good. And I said, I just interacted with her and stuff. And I was like, are you all right? And she's like, I have a migraine headache. And I was like, well, let's say a prayer, you know, and stepped out. And I think she said it was a 6 level and prayed, and it was a 3. And I was like, let's pray again. And it was completely gone.
Amen.
It was completely gone. And when the conference was all over, she happened to pass by me again with her group. And she stepped out from her group to come over to thank me for praying with her and helping her to feel better, which was kind of cool, you know. And just to see God work in that way, you know, and just that invitation to continue to keep stepping out. Now, coincidentally, ironically, kind of in a funny way, I needed a shuttle to where the priests were kind of staying in lower campus, and you kind of needed a shuttle to get there. So I'm sharing a shuttle with a young lady who had a big boot on her leg and some problems with her foot, and her dad is in the car too as we're getting the shuttle. And I'm like, oh well, let's pray over her, you know. And I prayed with her and stuff, but nothing happened. So I'm like, all right, well, I stepped out, I prayed with her like 3 times, and nothing happened. There was no change in anything. So I'm like, all right, well, my job is to just keep stepping out, because I know that people ask those questions, like, what if you step out and nothing happens? But you know, what if something does happen, as Todd White often likes to say, you know? And the other thing is that when you do step out that way, people are often blessed anyways. I don't think people walk away saying, like, I can't believe nothing happened. They're usually blessed that you stepped out and did that. Father, you spoke about, like, the prophetic gifts and the anointing. So For the Steubenville conference, right, there's the typical format is there's a Friday night session, then there's a Saturday morning session with Mass. Friday evening there's adoration, and then there's like a men's and women's session. There's an afternoon session after lunch, and then there's the evening session, which is like there's adoration and there's talk and there's worship music all throughout the weekend. There's animators and keynote speakers and, and then there's healing opportunities. Confession is offered, so there's about 1,000 kids, just under 1,000 kids. And I think they said 80% of the kids went to confession, which is totally miraculous. You'll never be in a crowd where 80% of the people are in a state of grace in which they just went to confession. But assume that happens, And then, Sunday morning, there's another session, empowerment and, Holy Mass. So the kids are receiving the sacraments. They're experiencing Christ's true presence in the adoration of the Blessed Sacrament. They're being introduced into the power of praise and worship and the gift of the Holy Spirit that comes when we stand in His glory through praise and worship. So, so the Saturday night is kind of like everything has a tendency to kind of build towards Saturday night where there's like a Eucharistic procession where Jesus comes to where everyone is and where it's an opportunity. It's like, reaching out for the hem of His garment, although you're not touching the priest, but it's like that He's coming, walking amongst us, and there's just a profound encounter there that happens. And so, with the Alberti family and Andrea, who works for us, and Chessie, who's our youth minister, and there's just Ariana, who does music ministry. So those kids have all, the whole family, they've all been through the life and the baptism and the Spirit and the gifting, and all have been immersed into the prophetic gifts, So it was just so beautiful, Father, was just before the adoration procession began, and we're in the worship, was watching Andrea and Francesca and Ariana to go around the kids and just start praying over them and praying with them, and the words of knowledge that they received, and then they would pray into that with the different young people, and how that kind of it was like a key that unlocked some things and gave them, these young people, a chance to yield even more to what the Lord wanted to say and do with them at adoration. I know this to be true because on the bus ride home, every kid got an opportunity to give a testimony of what happened this weekend. And a number of them spoke about how when Andrea or Chessie or Ariana prayed over them, something that they said and how they prayed with them, God used that to speak truth into their life and, and connecting it, whatever their wound was or the lie that they, had been hearing or something to that effect, just unlocked something where they could just feel and encounter the love of God. There was one young person that I prayed with, and I just felt the Lord just wanted to say over and over again, like, I love you, I love you, I love you. And like she got up there saying, like, when Father Matt just kept saying, I love you, I love you, I love you, like how that just kind of reverberated through her heart and her being and like brought like, a healing there. And then something that Andrea had said to her that kind of complimented that and those kinds of things, So it was just really, really profound to see how the Lord worked, What's fascinating, and we know life is like such a spiritual battle, Father. It's amazing how the enemy sows lies that like, that we're not good enough, that not we're loved. One of the profound things that they did that night is they went through a litany of lies that we can all hear. In our minds, the devil sows them, right? And lies that we internalize and like we digest, that keep us paralyzed, keep us in fear, keep us from becoming the full version, best version of ourselves. And so they went through a litany of lies, and then they had all the kids renounce those lies. You know, they might have said, like, here's five different lies, and then in the name of Jesus, I renounce these lies, you know, like something like that. And that rang true for so many of them. You know, it's fascinating how we can be paralyzed in shame, right? You mess up, and then you're not walking in the light, and you're like, will Jesus forgive me? And kids given that beautiful grace to say, okay, I'm going to take that chance and like come to Jesus's mercy today, and to realize he doesn't abandon or forsake them, but he rather receives them in love. So it's just so awesome to hear people set free of shame, set free of lies, and to come to experience the mercy and the love of Jesus. And then from there, Father, young people feeling that they might be called to vocation, to priesthood and consecrated life, which was so cool.
This is normal Christianity. What we have just heard is normal Christianity. It's not subnormal. God wants to do something through you. He wants you to know, as you lay hands upon the sick, they shall be healed. I received a call from someone that we've been praying with for cancer. And as we prayed, she was very negative. She thought she was going to die. And I had the feeling that she was going to get better. And you know what? Her tumor shrunk. And she's just so elated that her tumor's shrunk. And I tell you, it's real, real. This is real Christianity. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.